America is committing suicide, not with a gun or a knife, but through the slow abandonment of the very foundations that made it a superpower. Patrick Buchanan's controversial thesis confronts us with an uncomfortable reality. The United States is disintegrating along ethnic, cultural, moral, and political fault lines. The once unifying pledge to one nation, under God, indivisible, now feels like a relic from another era. Political polarization has reached unprecedented levels, with Americans increasingly living in separate cultural and informational universes. Meanwhile, the government fails at its most fundamental duties, defending borders, balancing budgets, and winning wars. America's financial position has deteriorated catastrophically, with manufacturing jobs vanishing as plants closed and production moved overseas. The first decade of what was supposed to be the second American century saw zero net job creation and declining household incomes. Perhaps most tellingly, while ordinary Americans suffered through the Great Recession, Washington, D.C. thrived. Federal employment boomed, and the three congressional districts surrounding the Capitol ranked among America's 10 most affluent. Is this merely economic trouble or something deeper? The evidence points to a profound cultural and demographic transformation that threatens the very nature of American identity. America is becoming post-Christian for the first time in its history. The evidence is stark. 16% of adults, 25% under 30, claim no religious affiliation. Christians have declined from 86% to 76% since 1990, and Protestants have fallen from 99% at the Revolution to just 51% today. Only 43% of under 30s identify as Protestant, compared to 62% of those over 70. This religious decline parallels troubling social trends since 1960. Illegitimacy rates rising from 5% to 41%, married couple families with children decreasing to 21.6% of households, 50 million abortions, teenage suicide rates tripling by 1990, and violent crime increasing 550% by 1992. Studies consistently show religious youth have better outcomes in charitable giving, volunteering, substance avoidance, and overall health. As Dostoevsky pondered, if God is dead, is not everything permitted? This social breakdown reflects a cultural revolution that has displaced Christianity, creating a moral vacuum that secular institutions have failed to fill. America faces an unprecedented demographic transformation. Census projections show white Americans becoming a minority by 2041, with white children becoming a minority by 2019, a mathematical certainty based on current trends. This change stems from three factors: white birth rates below replacement level, 4 decades of immigration primarily from Asia, Africa, and Latin America, and higher birth rates among Hispanic immigrants. Between 2000 and 2010, the white child population declined by 4.3 million, 10%, and by 2020, whites over 65 will outnumber those under 17. Surprisingly, there's minimal public discourse about this shift. Most Americans seem welcoming rather than alarmed. In 1997, President Clinton even celebrated this as the Third Great Revolution, proving America could thrive without having a dominant European culture. California previews this future. Once a land of opportunity, it now struggles with the nation's lowest bond rating, highest taxes, and worst business climate. Between 2000 and 2008, 1.4 million domestic residents left, while 1.8 million international migrants arrived, with immigrants comprising 35% of California's workforce by 2010. The demographic crisis extends far beyond America, with birth rates below replacement level creating a demographic winter across developed nations. Japan faces catastrophe, projected to lose 25 to 32 million people by 2050, with one-fifth of its population disappearing and 1 in 6 Japanese over 80. Despite $3,000 child allowances, Japan's fertility has remained below replacement since the 1970s. Germany has been shrinking since 2003, projected to lose 8 million inhabitants by mid-century, equivalent to losing its five largest cities. By 2050, 32% of Germans will be over 65. Russia faces steeper decline, falling from 148 million in 1991 to a projected 116 million by 2050. With 15 deaths for every 11 births, the country experiences hypermortality from alcoholism, HIV/AIDS, and poor health care. Even China faces crisis after its one-child policy, creating a 4-2-1 society where one child must support two parents and four grandparents. History suggests declining populations correlate with economic stagnation, social instability, and geopolitical weakness. America's founding fathers prioritized unity for national strength, embodied in E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. Yet today, many claim America's greatness stems from diversity itself, celebrating what Ben Wattenberg called the non-Europeanization of America. This represents a fundamental shift in American identity. Modern diversity isn't merely appreciation for variety, but an ideological construct asserting certain groups deserve compensatory privileges due to historical discrimination. The founders would have rejected today's diversity celebration. When Washington became president, the states were 99% Protestant, with citizenship limited to free white persons. John Jay described America as one united people sharing ancestry, language, religion, and principles. Despite public diversity rhetoric, private behavior reveals a different reality. Harvard professor Orlando Patterson notes Black Americans remain remarkably excluded from the private sphere despite public integration progress. Research shows diversity often undermines social cohesion. Harvard economists traced America's lower social spending compared to Europe to its racial diversity, as Europeans view government programs as benefiting people like themselves, while Americans remain skeptical. Ethno-nationalism, the drive of ethnic groups to establish their own nation-states, remains one of history's most powerful forces. Despite globalization, tribal ties of blood and kinship continue to shape world events. The Soviet Union's collapse exemplifies ethno-nationalism triumphing over ideology, as the USSR splintered into 15 nations along ethnic lines, each facing further minority independence movements. China faces similar challenges in Xinjiang, where Han-Uyghur tensions have sparked violence. Unlike Soviet leaders, Chinese authorities suppress secession through force and demographic engineering by settling Han Chinese in restive regions. Is ethno-nationalism a disease requiring quarantine or a natural force needing a combination? The 20th century revealed its horrors from Nanking to Auschwitz to Rwanda, yet it also liberated captive nations, toppled the evil empire, and created numerous nations from colonies. America itself emerged from ethno-nationalism, colonists recognizing themselves as a distinct people. Can a nation founded on ethnic identity successfully transform into one based solely on abstract ideals? America stands at a crossroads as elites transform our Western Christian Republic into a global democracy, embracing all cultures and declaring all lifestyles equal. Our first priority must address America's financial crisis. Federal spending consumes 25% of GDP, while taxes generate only 15%, requiring substantial cuts to entitlements and national security. America lost 50,000 factories and 6 million manufacturing jobs in the 2000s, while competitors thrived. The issue isn't worker quality, but that China, Japan, and Germany are trade predators, not trade partners, practicing economic nationalism while espousing free trade. To regain unity, we must adopt immigration policies enabling assimilation, secure borders, and make English our official language. The fundamental question is whether we remain one nation. We've seceded into like-minded enclaves consuming media that creates separate realities. Unlike the past, when we shared culture and heroes, today we lack common faith, culture, or vision. Can a nation survive without these bonds? History suggests not.